Welcome back. We are up to Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches, Chapter 3, Mishnah 8 of Maseches Trumos. So the next Mishnah that we're going to be discussing talks about the situation where someone says one thing but means another and vice versa. What is the halacha there? And essentially, the halacha is the same across the board, that we need to have a person's intentions and the words that they speak to be the same. And if they're not the same, then nothing really happened. Says the Mishnah, HaMiskavei Lomar Trumos. If someone was separating a portion from his produce and he meant to say this is truma, but actually he said this is meiser v'amar truma, or if he tended to say that it was meiser but actually said truma, olav v'amar shlamim, or if he said he wants to bring an animal as a karban and he meant to say that it's an ola but mistakenly he said it was a shlamim and shlamim v'amar ola, or the opposite case, he meant to take a shlamim and he accidentally said an ola, she'ini nichnas the bias zev amar lezeh. Or in a related situation, if someone said someone took a shvua, a swear that he's not going to enter into so and so's house, and he was referring to a particular house when with his intentions, but he accidentally said this person's house, meaning someone else's house, she'ini nehene lezev amar lezeh. In the same case, if he says I'm not going to have any benefit from the belongings and the property of this individual, but accidentally he said this individual when he meant someone else, lo amar klum. So in all these situations, he has actually said nothing. She'adshi hiyu pivot v'libo shaven. Because at the end of the day, when you have a statement that is made that your words and your thoughts don't match, it's not going to be kosher, because a statement is never going to be legally binding when your mouth and your mind are not the same. They must always be the same. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Ches. Now moving forward with Mishnah Tes. So this Mishnah actually deals with a fascinating situation, and that is, we've sort of danced around the topic of a non-Jewish person who takes Truma, what the halacha is there, or is he obligated in Truma and the like. This Mishnah tells us, okay, well, let's see. What happens if the non-Jewish person took Truma? So what's the halacha there? Do we treat it like Truma? Is it really Truma? Is it not Truma? So that's what this Mishnah is all about, essentially. Says the Mishnah, Oved Kochavim V'Hakusi, if you have someone who is an idol worshiper, or he's a Kuthian, right? We've spoken about Kuthians in the past. HaTruma San Truma. Their Truma, the Truma of produce that they specifically separated, and they said this is Truma. So that's considered a valid, it's considered a kosher Truma. Maestro Sayan Maaser, and the same as with their Maestros, that they took Maaser from their produce and they said this is Maaser, so that's going to be a kosher Maestros. Hekdesha, and so too if they consecrate an animal as a karban. So it's going to be considered a kosher karban, or a kosher consecration of karban. Then says Rabbi Yehuda says, in la ovid kochavim kerim rivai, that when it comes to the produce that belongs to an idolater, meaning a non-Jewish person, so that's not subject to the laws of rivai, of
The Chachamim say, Yeshlo, no, actually it is subject to the halachos of Revai, of vineyards. Seemingly the machlokas over here has to do with which land we are specifically referring to. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we know that in general he says that a non-Jewish person is obligated to bring Truma in the land of Israel. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're probably talking about the land of Syria, this doubtful land that we've spoken about in the past. What is the halacha? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says in this land, they're not subject to the laws of Revai, but the Chachamim say, no, they actually are subject to the laws of Revai for a non-Jewish person. Take the revai of the vineyards. Okay, then says the Mishnah further, Truma Sovei Kochav Midamas, that when you have Truma of a non-Jewish person, and if that falls into an ordinary pile of produce, so it makes the mixture a Meduma mixture, which means then you have Truma and also Chulin, and so it can only be eaten by a Kohen, the Chayav Malach Omesh, and so too, if a non-Kohen eats this, then he's going to be obligated to pay the extra fifth for the Avera of eating it by mistake, meaning without realizing that it was truma. But basically, we're going to come to understand over here that the truma of the non-Jewish person is truma midoraisa. It's Torah level truma. But Rabbi Shimon poter. But Rabbi Shimon says no. That one who ate it by mistake, he is not obligated to pay this extra fifth because it's only midrabanan truma and midrabanan truma. No one, the rabbis would not obligate the person to pay the extra fine over here. So therefore, it's okay. But seemingly, he would hold that there is a meduma mixture even for this derabanan level truma. Okay, that brings us to the end of Perek Gimel. God willing, next time we'll continue with Perek Daled, chapter 4. Have a wonderful day.